Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, we're glad you're here with us. Today's message comes from a series called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. A great enemy of the spiritual life in our day is the fact that we're always in a hurry to do everything. The world tells us that we have to move faster. But when you look at the life of Jesus, he moved slower than that. Maybe he was onto something. Let's find out what God has to say about hurry. Thanks for joining us.
Three Creeks Church, what's up? My name is Joel Trainer, and I get to be the pastor here. And welcome to week four, the final week of the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. If you missed week one or week two or week three, you gotta go back and watch them or listen to them. This is a key series in our desire to want to follow God closely, to have a real relationship with him. We have to eliminate hurry from our lives. If you remember in week one, we talked about the problem we have, that we are in a hurry. We got too much to do and too little time, and so it just makes us feel frantic all the time, trying to get more done. And then in week two, we talked about having an interruptible life, that Jesus was interrupted, that he created enough space for God to do what he wanted to do, not what was on everybody's calendar. And then last week, Morgan talked about Sabbath, the gift of Sabbath. I hope that you'll try it if you haven't yet. It's a gift from God to give us deep, throbbing joy. It's so good. I hope that you will go back and listen to that one especially. And today, we're in week four. I told you from the beginning, my purpose is not just simply to get you to slow down. It's to get you to slow down enough that you could have a real relationship with God, to walk with Jesus. It's to walk in a slow and unhurried pace. There's no way that we can walk well with Jesus if we are sprinting through life always in a hurry. These are not time management talks. These are because we care deeply about your soul, and we know that a soul that is in a hurry cannot abide with Jesus. And we really want you to experience what a relationship with God is like when it's personal and true. That's why we're doing this series. The person who wrote the book that we've based a lot of this series on, his name is John Mark Comer. John Mark Comer had a mentor named John Ortberg. John Ortberg is an old and wise pastor who's been in ministry for a long time. And John Ortberg's mentor was a man named Dallas Willard. He's a philosopher. He was a professor at USC. He loved God. He's revered as a great thinker, both in Christian and secular circles. And John Ortberg told John Mark Comer a story about Dallas Willard. I don't know if you're following with me, but I think this will make sense. John Ortberg called Dallas Willard. He was younger in ministry, and he asked him a simple question. He said, "What do I need to do to become the me I want to be?" It's a big question. It's a simple question. What do I need to do to become the me that I want to be? Long pause on the other end of the line. And Dallas Willard said to him, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." So John Ortberg thought, "Oh, that's good." And he wrote it down in his journal, and he said, "And what else?" Another long pause on the other end of the line. And Dallas Willard said, "That's it. Hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." It's an interesting statement to make, that hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. That's a lofty claim. And if I were to ask you, what do you think is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day? You probably wouldn't have said here, hurry. There's a lot of answers, a lot of good answers, a lot of answers that are true in being great enemies of the spiritual life. But what is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life in our day? Could it be hurry? Think about it. In the Bible, Satan does not portray himself. He's not described as a red demon with horns and a pitchfork trying to go around and catch everybody. He's sneakier than that. He is so much sneakier than that. Could it be that hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day and the enemy of your spiritual life? Corrie ten Boom puts all of it this way: if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Too much to do, too little time, always in a hurry. And listen to me, sin and hurry have the exact same effect. They cut off our connection with God. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about our personal connection with God. Your quiet time, your devotions, your personal time with God. I don't know what you describe it as, I don't know what you name it, but I'm talking about you and God, one-on-one, your personal connection with God. Do you have one? Is it sporadic? Is it rhythmic? Is it regular? What do you do? How long should it be? What's the motivation? When do you do it? How often is it, you know, just a couple days every couple months on a vacation, or is it a regular thing? I want to talk today about the value of a deep and personal and rhythmic and regular connection with God. You see, to be a follower of Jesus means to want to be like him, to want to adopt his lifestyle. And when you look at the life of Jesus, it is unbelievable how often that he withdraws himself from the noise, that he withdraws himself from people, that he gets away, that he goes by the lake, that he goes by the mountainside, that he's got these places where he goes, and it's him and God, and he prays, and he closes his eyes, and he has this personal communion with God. Do you know what that is like? I just spent a little bit of time looking over the whole life of Jesus, and I was astounded as to how often he would get away and have one-on-one time with God. I just want to read you three verses. The first one is in Mark 1:35. It says that before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. He was alone. Luke 5:15 and 16, vast crowds came to hear him preach and be healed of their diseases, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Matthew 13:14 says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. You guys, that's three. There are 20 more times in the Gospels that it says that Jesus got away to spend time with God. All four of the gospel writers wrote about this. This isn't an isolated side note. This is something that every single one of them wanted to make sure that we knew, that Jesus got away and spent one-on-one time with God regularly and rhythmically. This is how Jesus began his ministry. This is how Jesus made important decisions. This is how Jesus dealt with troubling emotions like grief and anger and sadness. This is how Jesus cared for his soul with all the demands that people were asking of him. This is how Jesus cared for himself. This is how Jesus prepared for events. This is what Jesus did the night before he went to the cross. This is not some one-off event in Jesus' life. This was regular, and everybody wrote about it. Do you have that? Do you have a regular and rhythmic time where you get away and you connect with God? I agree with Henry Nouwen, the great Christian author, that it's virtually impossible to live a spiritual life without solitude, without getting away from it all, without having a quiet place, without regularly connecting with God. And this makes sense, right? Like, it makes sense for me to say this, that you probably aren't going to have a thriving relationship with God if you're not getting away with him. It's not so different than other relationships in your life. I think about myself and my relationship with my wife, Morgan. What would our relationship turn into if we never spent one-on-one time together? What if we never just hung out? What if we never laughed together? What if we never went on dates? What if we never cried together? What if we never had a safe place to share our deepest concerns or the dreams that we have for our life? What if we never connected on a one-on-one basis, just us. Well, I can tell you, best case scenario, we would stay married and be extremely unhealthy, but more likely, our marriage would wither and die. It would not even be a real relationship. It would be so fake. That's how relationships work. And so with our relationship with God, it's really no different. Our life, on the whole, will change dramatically based on whether or not we have this personal, rhythmic, and regular connection with God. This is what your life might feel like if you spend no time one-on-one with God. You'd feel distant from God. Your spiritual food, it would only be someone else's connection with God, whether through a podcast or a book. And as you listen to it or read it, you would find yourself even being envious of their connection with God. You'd feel distant from Him. You feel distant from yourself. You feel like you don't even do the things that are the most important to you. You get caught up just doing the urgent things, not the important things. You might have this underlying feeling of anxiety all the time, that you always feel like you're behind, like you always feel like there's more to do. You would probably feel tired. You'd probably wake up in the morning and feel tired. Like you wake up in the morning and you go, when can I go to sleep again? That's a symptom of a connection with God that isn't healthy. You might turn to cheap fixes, a glass of wine, a cup of coffee, porn, social media, a Netflix binge. You might turn to those socially acceptable addictions just to cover over this feeling of loneliness and disconnection that you have. And then maybe worst of all, you just become easy prey for the tempter. You become easy prey. You're so much more likely to make a decision that will destroy your life and the life of the people that love you. These are the symptoms of a life where there's just no regular and rhythmic connection with God. On the flip side, the other side looks totally different. I mean, it just is completely different. You're having these regular connections with God. You find these quiet places, not just physically external, but internal quiet places where your soul actually rests. Do you know that feeling? That comes from spending time with God. You know yourself. You do the things that are the most important. You don't just get caught up in being in a hurry, busy all the time. You do the things that are the most important to you. You live in the moment. You're able to be present with people. Listen, you don't spend your time doing things always thinking about the next thing that you have to do. You actually experience and do them. You experience the wide range of human emotion, not just the good ones, all of them. Joy, you experience the pinnacle of joy. Grief, you experience it. Sadness, you experience it. You know how to work through those things because you're doing it through this relationship with God that created emotion. You're able to face everything in your life, even the parts that you don't want to talk about. The depression, the anxiety, the loneliness, I don't have any friends. You get to flesh that out with a father and a friend that you feel like you have a relationship with. And so what that looks like is that these emotions that you have, they don't leak out onto the people in your life that you love. They don't leak out as things that end up hurting people and you bruise other relationships with people. That doesn't happen as much because you're able to process them and share them with a father who loves you, and grace and peace, they wash over your life because you're just consistently going before God who chooses us, who identifies us as His children. And that feeling, it affects every relationship in your life. And then maybe the most important one is that by spending time with God regularly, we gain the courage to resist temptation and avoid making decisions that will destroy us. We gain this courage, this foundation that prevents us. We do not become easy prey for Satan when we are always with God. You see, Jesus knew that by modeling this for us, by showing us this lifestyle, of getting away from it all, of waking up early in the morning, of going to a place where nobody is. He was showing us a secret to a healthy soul. He was saying, listen, don't be in so much of a hurry that you can't get away and just spend a little bit of time with God. It's too important. And all the gospel writers remind us that this was a part of the lifestyle of Jesus, and it should be a part of ours too. You know, and if this idea of having a quiet time, of spending personal time with God, if that's foreign to you or new to you, or if it sounds uncomfortable to you, it might be because you don't have a relationship with God. So it seems awkward to spend a lot of time with someone that you don't know. And we just want you to know that that's okay to be there. Wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, we're thrilled that you're here with us, that you're engaging with this. If you've heard me describe the life, the results, the soul depth and soul care that comes as a result of having this personal relationship with God, this healing that comes from that, if you're interested in that, if you're interested in starting a relationship with God, we would love to talk with you. You can find our contact information on our website. You can reach out to us. We would love to talk with you. Or, you know, next week we're going to have an in-person service on Sunday night on February 7th. We could meet you there if you're comfortable to come out. Wear a mask. We'll stay kind of far from you, but we'll meet you and we'll talk to you about this relationship with God that's available for you. And maybe between right now and then, let me just kind of throw this out there. Like go on your first date with this person, with God. Go try it out. And maybe this would be my idea. Read John 1, 2, and 3. Find a Bible, the book of John. It's towards the back. John 1, 2, and 3. It will give you the first glimpse into this Jesus, this God that came for us. And you can start to get to know him. You might love spending time with him. I think that you will. We would love to invite you to do that. Let me kind of close this whole message, this series, with something that is really practical. It's something that somebody shared with me. It transformed my personal walk with God. And I think that if you would apply it, it might change the way you spend time with Jesus too. I was talking to a mentor and friend of mine named Ward Wiebe. And I said, Ward, what's been the key to having such a rhythmic and regular relationship with God for so many years? And he said, Joel, you got to have a place, you got to have a plan, and you got to have a posture. And Ward went on to explain these. I just want to explain them to you. The first, if you want to have this regular and rhythmic connection with God, you got to have a place. You got to have a place that you go to. Mine is the left side of my couch in my living room. There's a lamp there. There's this little table there. It's got a little drawer that we can put books into. My pens are there. I can put my coffee there. There's an ottoman right in front of me, and I always put this big old heavy blanket on me. And that's my place. That's my quiet place. I know that if I wake up at 6 a.m. and if I go to that place, I've met God there before. He'll meet me there again. And if you wake up in the morning just kind of, you know, picking a random spot, that can work from time to time. There's nothing wrong with a change of pace. But I'm saying, hey, if you want to have a regular rhythmic time with God, pick a place. Make it your place. Spend a little money to make your place nice. Make it a place that you want to go, because that is a place that you want to be. The second is you need a plan. I'll just say this. Nothing makes me hit snooze like not having a plan. I don't have the emotional energy to at 6 a.m. when my alarm goes off to decide what I'm going to read and hope that it works. I've got to have a plan. When I wake up in the morning and my Bible's there, my book's there, my journal's there, my pen's there, it's easier for me to get up and get out of bed. I don't know what a plan could look like for you. Maybe you just want to start reading through the Psalms or the Proverbs. Maybe you just want to start reading in the book of Matthew. Maybe you already have a plan, but you got to have a plan. Nothing will cause you to just stall in this, like wondering what you ought to do next. So make a move, make a plan, have a plan. On the guide this week, we've put a few plans that you could start. That way you don't have any excuse. You got a plan. Maybe you might choose one of those just to get started in this journey to have a daily connection with God. And the third one is you got to have a posture. You got to have the right posture. Not talking about a physical posture, not talking about getting down on your knees or facing a certain direction. That's not the posture that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a posture of heart. And the posture of heart that we ought to take into these personal one-on-one times with God is, God, is it me that you want to change today? Is it me that you want to change today? See, when I pray, I try not to pray about changing all of my circumstances. I ask God if he wants to change me in the midst of my circumstances. When I read my Bible or when I read a book, I try not to think of it in terms of, you know, other people needing to hear this. I want to come with this posture of, God, is it me? Is it me? Because this is my personal time with God. This is not my time with God that involves everybody else. This is God's chance to speak with me. And so I want to have this posture of, God, like, are you wanting to speak to me? Are you wanting to change me? And I just try to enter into that space with my hands open, going, God, whatever you have for me, not for anybody else. This is our time. Nobody else gets to know about this. And that's when, I'll just say, that's when your mind gets transformed. That's when your thoughts are formed. That's when your faith goes deeper. That's when this connection, this relationship with God that you've maybe heard people talk about, that's when you go, oh, I have one too now, because it's so real, you can almost touch it. It's how it happens when you have a place and a plan and a posture. Now, let me just be honest and say that, listen, every time I get up, I don't have an amazing experience. It's not unbelievable every single time. There's times when I read my Bible and I go, man, that was for me today. I'm going to remember that all week. I might remember that the rest of my life. I've had those moments. But very often, I forget what I'm reading maybe as I'm reading it. I walk out the door and it's like, I don't even know where I was today. That happens to me. It's going to happen to you. You spend time with God all every day, it's going to happen to you. Don't let it discourage you. Here's how I see this. Here's why it's so important to spend time with God every day. Here's why it is. Because if I'm going to spend time with God every day, that does not leave me a lot of time to wander away from him. Right? Like, if I'm spending time with God every single day, there's not a lot of time for me to wander that far away. I'm going to be with them again in the morning. And so I just see this as a protection plan from helping me make better decisions and helping me not be an idiot, because I know I'm going to be back with God the next day. It doesn't give me a lot of room to wander. I know all of the excuses as to why this doesn't happen for us. I don't know. There's probably not very many people that are followers of Jesus who are disagreeing with this message. You're like, I don't think a connection with God matters. I think we're all on the same page. Like, this is a good discipline to have. I know all the excuses why we don't, because I've made them all. I'm not a morning person. I'm too busy. I don't know where to start. I know all the excuses because I've had them all. You and I both know that none of them are good enough, right? You and I both know that it's not whether or not this is a good idea. It's just about getting going and getting started. John Piper, who's a pastor, he's been a pastor for a long time, and a lot of people look up to him and his walk with God. And he says this, he says, I can't guarantee that you will become the man or woman of God that God wants you to be if you spend time with God every day. I can't guarantee that. But I can guarantee that if you don't, you won't. I can guarantee that if you don't, you won't. It's kind of like that question that John Ortberg asked Dallas Willard at the beginning. How do we become the me I want to be? How do we become a mature, godly Christian? Well, we've got to eliminate hurry from our lives. And we've got to just stop and breathe and be with God. That's how, in the long run, we end up becoming the me's that we want to be. If we are too busy to spend time with God, we are too busy. If we're too busy to spend time with God, if we've got too much going on that we can't fit in 30 minutes a day to spend with God, we're just too busy, period. I don't know how to say that any different. We're just too busy. So, Three Creeks, here's the deal. This week, I just want you to try it. If this is something that's already a part of your life, way to go. Let this message just be a tremendous encouragement to you. But if this is new to you, or if this is something that you've wanted to do, but you just can't get started, let's just start right now. Let's start right now. Wake up tomorrow morning and breathe and just be with God. Adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. He was onto something. He was onto something. This is how he cared for his soul. This is how he made decisions. This is how he dealt with life. This is how we do it. So tomorrow morning, wake up, spend some time with God. Let this be a rhythmic part of your life. This is the lifestyle of Jesus.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Three Creeks Church, community groups, serving on a team, or giving online, visit threecreekschurch.com.